Welcome to Bible Talk, the program that gives Bible answers to Bible questions. This program is brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. Your speaker is Lynn Huggins, preacher with the St. James Church of Christ.
We have emphasized on this program the importance of giving Bible answers to our questions, because in giving a Bible answer, we're giving God's answer, since the Bible is the very words of God, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. If we want to know God's answers to the questions of life, we must go to the Bible. And that's our goal on our program today. Our culture has changed drastically in the past 40 years over how it views homosexuality. Homosexuals in our culture have, to some extent, won public acceptance and have gained political clout. Our culture has changed from condemning the homosexual lifestyle to tolerance and acceptance. But they're not stopping there. They want to be integrated into everyday life. They want government and society to affirm their lifestyle. They want us to accept their marriages as we accept marriages between a man and a woman. They want moral equality. Well, is it right to give moral equivalence to the homosexual lifestyle? May the Christian be true to Jesus and His Word, and at the same time affirm the lives of practicing homosexuals? Can we accept their lifestyle and be right with God? Well, these are the questions that I want to address on the program today and next week as well. We're glad that you're with us. If you have a Bible question that you would like for us to address on a future program, then we want you to send it in to us, and we will tell you how you may send in your Bible questions at the end of the program today. But first of all, we need to ask the question, how does God view the practice of homosexuality? Well, the Lord in His Word is clear on this subject. He states His position in no uncertain terms. The practice of homosexuality is sinful. This was true in the days of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was true under the law of Moses, the law that God gave the children of Israel at Sinai. And it's true in the law of Christ, of which we are amenable today. The earliest mention of this sin in Scripture is found in Genesis 19. There were two angels who had accepted Lot's invitation to abide in his house. Now, Lot lived in the city of Sodom. Now, these two angels became the target of the perverted lust of the men of Sodom. The record says, "Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, 'Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally.' So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said, 'Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly.'" Now notice, the men of Sodom desired to know these men. Now, this is a reference to sexual relations. The men of Sodom wanted to have homosexual relations with Lot's visitors. Because of this sin and other sins, God determined to destroy the city, which He did. Verse 24 says that the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Now, Jude in the New Testament scriptures cites this incident as an example of God's judgment on evildoers. Jude says in verse 7, "As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." Now, Jude says that Sodom gave themselves over to sexual immorality and went after strange flesh. Well, this is a reference to homosexuality. And what we see in these passages is that homosexuality is a sin. It was condemned by God. Also in the law of Moses, God condemned the practice of homosexuality. Leviticus 18, verse 22, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." In Leviticus 20, verse 13, "If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." Now someone says, "But we're not under the law of Moses today." Well, this is true. Ephesians 2 verse 15 tells us that this law was abolished. Colossians 2 and verse 14 tells us that Jesus has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. But the fact that the law of Moses was taken out of the way does not mean that today we're not under any law. You know, when Jesus dedicated the new covenant, or the New Testament, he gave us a new law. Paul makes it clear in 1 Corinthians 9 verse 21 that he was under law to Christ. You see, there is a law of Christ. Galatians 6 and verse 2 says, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Well, what does our Lord Jesus Christ say about the practice of homosexuality? You know, some people will say that he said nothing. And what they mean by that is that from the direct quotes of Jesus, recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of the New Testament scriptures, there is no specific reference to homosexuality. And so they conclude that Jesus didn't say anything about it. But we need to understand that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John do not reveal all the teachings of Jesus. All the New Testament scriptures, you see, are the words of Jesus. Look with me in John 16, verses 12 through 15. Jesus is speaking to his apostles, and he says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." Now notice, Jesus promised the apostles that after he left them, the Holy Spirit would come and guide them into all truth. The Spirit would not speak on his own authority, Jesus said, but he would take the things of Christ, which are also the things of the Father, and declare that unto the apostles. Therefore, the words of the apostles and prophets, as they were guided by the Holy Spirit, are also the very words of Jesus Christ. That is the reason Paul could say in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37, "The things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord." And so, the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not all that Jesus said. What Paul wrote, what Peter wrote, what James wrote, are all the very words of Jesus. Now, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." You can't get any clearer than this. The practicing homosexual is here referred to as being unrighteous, and if he continues in that practice, he will not inherit the kingdom of God. Look with me also in Romans chapter 1, verses 26 through 27. Paul writes, "For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due." Now Paul says that men left the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men. Well, this is a clear reference to homosexuality. And Paul does not identify it as a gay alternate lifestyle. Rather, he describes it as vile passions, what is against nature, and what is shameful. The passage shows clearly that the practice of homosexuality is perversion, wickedness, vileness. The practice of homosexuality is a choice, and it is a sinful choice. You see, sexuality is of God. God ordained that human sexuality is to involve a man and a woman. Back in Genesis chapter 2, we read that God formed man out of the dust of the ground, Genesis 2 and verse 7. God then said that it was not good that man should be alone. He said, "I will make him a helper comparable to him," Genesis 2 verse 18. Well, what did God do? Well, he took a rib out of the man's side and made woman and brought her to the man. And Adam the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Genesis 2, verses 23 and 24. And so it's clear that God instituted marriage between a man and a woman. And Jesus acknowledges this in Matthew chapter 19. In verse 3, Jesus is asked the question, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?" Well, he responded by saying, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' So then, they're no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." Matthew 19, verses 4 through 6. Now here Jesus quotes from Genesis 1:27, where it says that God made them male and female. And then he acknowledges that this is the reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. And he quotes here from Genesis 2 in verse 24. He says that God is the one who then joins them together. You see, Jesus believed marriage to be between a man and a woman, not between a man and a man or a woman and a woman. Also, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2, "Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife or woman, and let each woman have her own husband." God intended for a man and a woman to enter into the one flesh relationship called marriage. Homosexual relations are sinful and should never be labeled marriage. Now, there are those who believe that when we teach what the Bible teaches on this subject, that the practice of homosexuality is sinful, that we are perpetrating social injustices against homosexuals. Listen to the following statement from a report of the Task Force on Gay-Lesbian Issues. It says that Christianity, by its moral teaching on the intrinsic evil of homosexuality, is a conspirator in the violence perpetrated against gay men and lesbian women who are senselessly discriminated against within the public sector. End of quote. And so the homosexual rights activists accuse us of contributing to the violence perpetrated against them just because we teach what the Bible has to say about the sin of homosexuality. Well, let me make it clear that when we say that the practicing homosexual is a sinner, we do not rejoice in that fact. We simply state it with the hope that some of them might repent and be saved. Anything that we have to say about the sin of homosexuality is not designed to be oppressive or persecution. We do not approve of the physical violence that is perpetrated against homosexuals. God loves homosexuals, and so do we. But we need to emphasize that love does not mean acceptance of their sinful behavior. Love demands that we do all we can to bring the sinner to acknowledge his sin, to repent and obey that he might be saved from his sin. This is what Jesus did, and this is our purpose in bringing these lessons to you. Well, I want to talk more about this subject next week, and so we hope that you'll join us then. Well, you may have a question about something we've talked about today or any Bible subject. If so, there are three ways that you may send in your questions. You may email it to us. Our email address is sjchurch@sjchurchofchrist.com. Or you may call it in. Our telephone number is 573-265-8628. Or you may mail it in to the U.S. Postal Service, and our address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559.
You have been listening to Bible Talk, brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. You're invited to the services of the St. James Church of Christ, Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible classes and 10:15 for worship, Sunday evening at 5 for worship. Wednesday night Bible classes at 7. The church building is located at 685 Sydney Street in St. James, where Sydney Street and Highway B intersect. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week at the same time for Bible Talk.